Let me share my screen. I'm going to ask if I could share my screen.
Just a moment, David.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it's a pleasure being with you all this week, last Sunday, and at Daily Vacation Bible School this week. It's been a tremendous week, great attendance, great program, and wonderful planning that's gone on all through the week. And this afternoon at 2:30, we'll conclude. It'll be a prize time, and we look forward to that. It's been my pleasure to be with you, and look forward to a future, possibly next year. Love to come. Well, we want to think about the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. You know, you're in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. You know, there are people. There are people who make a profession of faith, but it does not have a real meaning to them. It may be at Sunday school or maybe at camp. They repeated words. They recited words. Maybe they prayed a prayer. But what is the problem? Is it enough to say the right words? Is it enough just to know the right words? I think there's needed a conviction of sin. And the Bible tells us all about this, and we're going to look at it today. There's a real need for conviction. You know, nothing will really happen in life unless we have a conviction. You may be a sick man, and you're not feeling very good. You talk to friends, they tell you, you tell them you're not feeling very good. You look on the internet, you read about your sickness, but you don't do anything. You don't go to the doctor. And it goes on and on. You're feeling sick and sick, but there's no real conviction that you're sick. I had a friend who was feeling very badly, and he didn't go to the doctor. He told me about it. He told other people about it. He wouldn't go to the doctor. We told him, go to the emergency room. Go see a doctor. Do something. He wouldn't do it. He had no real conviction. Finally, a friend came to him and picked him up and drove him to the hospital and found out he was very sick. A man is drowning. He's out in the lake. He's swimming. People are yelling at him. They can tell he's getting weaker. They can see his head dip under the water. And they cry out to him. And he says, I'm fine. I'm fine. He waves his arm. There's no conviction. There's no conviction that he needs. He's not convinced. He needs somebody to save him. You know, we're like that. We need to be convinced. We need to have conviction. And we need the Lord Jesus Christ to come and save us. It doesn't have to be a dramatic experience. It doesn't have to have with lights flashing and some emotional experience. But we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So we want to dive into that subject this morning. We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 5, and it says this: our gospel did not come to you in word only, just words. It's not a real help. If it's just words, there's no real help to that. But he says, the apostle says, but it came in power and in the Holy Spirit. Now, in my translation, the King James, it says with much assurance, but other translations say this: with deep conviction, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. This is important. The gospel needs to come to men and women with conviction. We just can't say words. We just can't know the right things, understand the right things, but we have to have conviction in our hearts, conviction that we need a savior, conviction that we're lost, conviction that we're sinners. Until that happens, not much can happen in the Christian life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I did not come for the righteous, but I came for sinners. And the Spirit of God convicts us that we need the Lord. And so we want to think about this morning. John 16, verse 8 and 9, when he has come, when the Holy Spirit has come, when the Comforter has come, says he will convict the world of sin. That's everyone. All men. All men and women and children. He'll convict of sin and of righteousness, that they are not righteous, and of judgment. There's a future judgment. But notice what he says now. Of sin, because they do not believe on me. The Holy Spirit will come and he'll convict of sin, convict of sin in unbelievers' lives because they do not believe in the Lord Jesus. Well, this is very important. This is what the Lord's come to do. He's come to convict you, come to convict me. If I didn't know the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, I could never be saved. When the Word of God is preached, when we read the Word of God, when we talk to someone, Spirit of God takes that. It moves in our lives. We get serious about sin. We have a certain amount of fear because we know the Bible's right. And we know that we need to do something. And so the Lord brings conviction. He convicts of sin because they do not believe. He wants us to believe on him. And so he brings conviction. We can resist conviction. We can push back. We can fight. The Apostle Paul was like that. He fought back. He pushed back. The Lord Jesus said, Paul, you're kicking against the goads. The goads was a pole with a little sharp prod on it. And for the animal, the horse or the ox, to move, they would a little jab to the side and they would begin to move. The Lord Jesus says to Paul, says, you're fighting against the convicting jabs of the Spirit of God. Spirit God was prodding the Apostle Paul, but he fought back. He pushed back and pushed back. And finally, he was convicted of his sin and he was saved. Different men have explained, different Bible teachers have explained how the convicting work of the Lord Jesus is very important. One of the professors at Princeton University in the United States, New Jersey, J. Gresham Machen, he's passed away some years ago, but he says this, there must be the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit in new birth. Without that, all our arguments are quite useless. What the Holy Spirit does in new birth, not to make us Christians, regardless of the evidence, but on the contrary, to clear away the mist from his eyes and to enable him to see the evidence. Enable man or woman to see the evidence. Holy Spirit works in our lives. We need that. Billy Graham, in his very good book, The Holy Spirit, I would recommend it to all of us. He writes this, only the Holy Spirit can open our eyes. Only the Holy Spirit can convict us of the depth of our sin. Only he can convince us of the truth of the gospel. That's one reason the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. J. Oswald Smith, the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. If we are to get Holy Spirit fruit, God must prepare the ground. The Holy Spirit must convict of sin before men can truly believe. Let us wait until the Spirit of God has done his part before we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let us first see signs of conviction as in the case of the Philippian jailer. Well, this is important. We need to see that. We need to see the convicting work. If you're here today and you haven't seen the convicting work, God will convict. Don't push back. Allow God to work in your life. Continue to read the Word of God. One of the main ways the Spirit of God convicts us is when we hear the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, when others witness to us concerning the gospel and the Word of God. That's when the Holy Spirit will convict us. Why is it needed? Well, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit is needed because of four different things, but mostly because of our sin, because there's blindness. And the convicting work of the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the eyes, the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that is displayed in the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Do you see that? The God of this world blinded the minds so they cannot see. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us see, to open our eyes, to cause us to see. There's no desire in ourselves. Romans 3, 11 and 12. There's none that understands. There's none that seek after God. In ourselves, in our fallen nature, there's no desire to seek after God. And if the Holy Spirit did not come, if the Word of God did not convict us, there'd be no desire on our part. In our old natures, there's none that seek after God. But when the Spirit of God begins to work, He draws us, He pulls us, He opens our eyes, we see clearly. We're separated from God. And you has He made alive, who were once dead in your trespasses and sins. We're separated from God. Isaiah chapter 59, it says this. It says, the Lord's arm is not heavy. His arm is not short that He cannot save, and His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But our sins have separated you from your God. We're separated. The Spirit of God reveals that to us, shows us that we're sinners. And we come to faith in the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In and of themselves, the unsaved man, they're foolishness. You can't know them. But when the Spirit of God comes and convicts, everything's changed. That's how He leads men and women to the Lord Jesus. Now, look at John 1:12. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to that. John 1:12. Tremendous, tremendous verse. Notice how it begins. But as many as received Him, that's all. All have the ability to receive Him. Spirit of God convicts all. Spirit of God draws all. We read in that verse, the Spirit of God convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He is convicting all the world, your neighbors, your friends, your family members, those who live near you, who you work with. Spirit of God is working in all of those lives. As many as we are all able. But some fight against Him. Some push back. Some say, no, Lord Jesus. But the Spirit of God's working. He's convicting. He's leading. He's showing us. He's open eyes. As many as received Him. Everyone can receive the Lord Jesus. We need to acknowledge that we're sinners. We need to show ourselves that we are lost. That's what I needed to do. I needed to yield. I need to say, yes, Lord Jesus. I need to say, Lord, I am a sinner. And one day, when I was in college, many years ago, in 1979, I bowed my heart, I bowed my knees before the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. You revealed it to me. I know I'm lost. And I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whosoever, everybody, the Spirit of God is convicting everybody. Who's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him, is that wonderful? Spirit of God is convicting everyone. All can come to faith in the Lord Jesus. What is the conviction of sin? Allow me to give you this definition. I think it's a very good one. It's not one that I wrote, but it's one that I found that someone else wrote. But I think it's very good. The word convict is the translation of the Greek word elenko, which means to convince someone of truth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. To reprove, to correct, to accuse, to refute, to cross-examine as a witness. It convinces men and women that they're guilty. Holy Spirit acts in exposing evil. He reproves those who have turned their back on God and convince men and women that they need a savior. You know, there are three stages in the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. I think we see this. I see it in my life. I see it in other people's lives. I see it in the Bible. There's three parts. The first part is awakening, asking questions, God answering questions, reading the Bible, learning more about the Lord Jesus, learning about his love for us, learning about his death for us, learning about all these kinds of things. We learn about his resurrection. We learn about what he did on the cross of Calvary. We learn about all those things. And that's the beginning. That's the awakening. We're gaining interest. We see a need in our own lives. And the Lord begins to show us in the awakening stage, we're lost. We're in great need. And when that awakening comes, that we are in need, the next thing happens. That happened to me. I saw I was in need. I saw that I was lost. And as soon as that happened, the next phase took place. Alarm and fear. After I saw I was lost, there was alarm. I'm in trouble. I'm in fear of judgment. Now I know that I'm lost. Now I know the Lord Jesus died for me. And if I don't act, I could come under the judgment of God. And I began to see that. There is a certain amount of fear, a certain amount of concern, a certain amount of alarm. I need to do something, not just knowing truth. When there's conviction and it reaches in the heart, and you see that you're lost in the heart, not just intellectually, not just some kind of mental assent, but really in your heart, there's alarm. And when that alarm takes place, it leads you to the last phase, acknowledgement, faith, confession of sin, turning to God. Remember that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says of the Thessalonians, says about them, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There was confession. There was a turning. There was faith in the Lord Jesus. An awakening to know you're lost. The fear and alarm and concern. And then you come to Christ. Three stages of the conviction of sin. Well-known preacher, very effective and good preacher from some years ago, he said this, the very first evidence of the awakening to sin is awakening grace. dissatisfaction with oneself, self-effort. You realize you're lost. And then there's number two, to own that you're lost, you're guilty. It's not a matter of the depth of grief or sorrow, but you recognize the need. And then you turn to Christ. You see these three different kinds of things. And when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. But that comes from the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Well, how does God do that? How does God bring this convicting work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It can be in four different ways. The Holy Spirit may begin to convict an individual apart from any other means. The Apostle Paul is like this. He was beginning to pray. He didn't hear a sermon. He didn't meet any Christians. He wasn't reading anything from the New Testament. The Spirit of God began to convict. Apart from anything else. Then the Holy Spirit may convict of sin through the reading of the Bible or Christian literature. That's how I was saved, by reading the Bible. Reading every day and sometimes every other day. Reading a verse or a chapter or two. God's convicting and God's speaking and God's showing me and God's leading me. And then there's the Holy Spirit convicting of sin through personal testimony. I had someone speak to me. A number of people speak to me. The Lord Jesus was pursuing me. Holy Spirit was pursuing me. I began to meet this person and that person and another person. That's how the Lord does it. He almost feels like he's pursuing you individually, personally. Remember the parable of a 100 sheep. If a man loses one of them, a shepherd loses one of them, he goes out into the wilderness. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness, goes after and seeks that one that's lost. What's the Bible say? Until he finds it. The Lord seeks and seeks and seeks and seeks, and he seeks us through other people, through the scriptures, through something on the radio, through a sermon, through a television program. He seeks us. Lastly, the Holy Spirit may use an experience or an event to convict of sin. The Philippian jailer, the Apostle Paul was singing, the Apostle Paul was preaching. There was an earthquake. Doors of the jail broke open. And the jailer says, "What, my sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Four different ways. The main way is to use the word of God. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This past week, we had a very good Bible memory verse. It was Acts chapter 2, 36. I want you to look, most of you weren't at Vacation Bible School. Verse 36 says this, Peter is preaching. He's preaching to the Jewish nation, Jewish people in Jerusalem. And he was preaching about the Lord Jesus, how he was crucified, how he rose from the dead, how he ascended to heaven, how he did miracles, how he walked on the earth. But then at verse 36, he really begins to drive home his sermon. He says this, therefore, let all the house of Israel assuredly know with assurance that God had made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's powerful preaching. He was driving home his point. And as he's doing that, we have the next verse, verse 37. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? How do we get saved? They were cut to the heart when they heard the preaching of the word of God. Acts 5:33, preaching again. Peter was preaching again. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? He was convicted of his sins. Why would he say this? Why would he say, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. So we see this, convicting of the Holy Spirit. Now, what are some marks? What are some marks you would see in someone's life? What are some marks maybe you see in your own life? Look back at your own life before you were saved. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. What are some marks in your own life? Number one, we are not only aware of truth, but it changes us. Truth, when we hear it, it disturbs us. You think it disturbed the Apostle Paul? Yes. We cannot think about it in a detached and casual manner, but we are engaged in it. Begins to work in our lives. It's not just words only. We have the feeling that the gospel message is speaking directly to us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, speaking directly to us. We are no longer spectators at church. We are not just attending church. We are involved. The message is doing something in our lives. The message is convicting us. The message is making us examine our lives, making us examine our thinking, everything we once believed. We begin to see that the gospel is of utmost importance. It is a vital concern to us. These are some marks of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What does God use primarily? He uses the Bible. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Word of God convicts. Look what it says in this verse. It's living and powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I saw the word of God speak to me in my life in areas that no one else knew about, things I was thinking about, things that I was beginning to work in my life, questions, doubts, fears that I had. Spirit of God was speaking to those things. The word of God can convict. The word of God can teach. Word of God does all those kinds of things. Now, one of the things the Word of God does is uses a sermon, uses a message in church. We have to watch that the messages we give are not too easygoing. We need to speak to the conscience. We need to speak to the heart. Souls are harmed by an easygoing ministry that does not arouse the conscience, which lets people complacently drift onto a lost eternity. I want to challenge you this morning. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a real conversion experience? Can you point to a time where you trusted Christ as your Savior? Allow God, don't push back, don't fight. Allow God to draw you to Himself. Say yes to the Lord Jesus. Say by faith, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. There's three things you have to do to be saved. The first thing is you acknowledge that you're a sinner and acknowledge that you're lost. No matter if you were raised in a Christian family, no matter if you think you're good, righteous, upright, I thought that about my life. But no matter the situation, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I had sinned. I wasn't like my friends. I wasn't doing things openly and outwardly that were wrong, but I still had sin in my life. To be saved, you've got to know you're lost. When you're drowning, you've got to call out to the lifeguard. When you're sick, you've got to call out to the doctor. You have to call out to God. Acknowledge you're lost. Believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you. He took your penalty. Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus. He bore our judgment. He bore our penalty. And we believe. We say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died in my place and took my punishment in my place. And then lastly, we take a step of faith. It's not enough just to believe those two things, that you're a sinner and the Lord died for you, but you have to take a step of faith. The Bible says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, you've got to enter in. Christ is that door of salvation. You've got to open that door. You've got to step through that door. That's faith. The act of faith. I had to do that. In my heart, in my life, you take the step. And get up and say, Lord, I believe in You. I actively, personally believe in You, and I'm taking a step. And I want to pray, and I want You to be my Savior. I want to close our time with a verse. I'm going to ask you to turn to it. It's in Acts 26. Acts 26 and verse 18. This is a passage about the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And in this verse is about Paul. It's about how the Lord called him, how Paul was called to preach, become an apostle. And he tells King Agrippa, he tells him how he was called and what God told him. He told Paul, when you go and preach, something's going to happen. When you go and preach to the Gentiles, you preach to open their eyes, to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, to receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Now, when Paul preached, something would happen. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit. When the word is preached, God says to Paul, eyes will be opened. They'll be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Something will happen. When the word is preached and the Spirit of God works, their eyes will be opened a little bit more. They'll be turned from darkness. Light will stream into their lives. Things that they didn't know before, they now know. They know more of God. They know more of sin. They know more of themselves. And they're delivered a little bit more from the power of Satan to God. Now, John Phillips, a preacher from northern part of British Columbia, Prince George, he says this, the power to do that, to open their eyes, is inherent in the gospel. In the gospel resides power, the mighty, irresistible power of God, to the power to open eyes and to break chains, and that convicting work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God together lead men and women to faith in the Lord Jesus. The Word of God is perfectly able to open an unbeliever's eyes to the truth of the gospel, convict him of sin, and do radical surgery on his soul. Now look at this verse again. It says this, to open their eyes, to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Now realize they're not saved yet. These are all the things the Spirit of God and the Word of God do together. Their eyes are open through the preaching, through the Spirit of God. They're turned from darkness to light by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. They're turned from the power of Satan to God by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins, might receive it. Something has to take place. I want to ask you, has this taken place in your life? Has this taken place? Might, that they might receive the forgiveness. What needs to take place? Faith. Look at the verse. That they might receive the forgiveness of sins by, the last part, by faith that is in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. That God saves us by faith. He gives us forgiveness by faith. Have you done that today? Have you placed your faith? Have you taken that step? Have you walked through that door and said, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe on you. I trust that you died for me. I am a sinner, and without you, I'd be lost. I pray you do it today. It's been great being with you all this week, last Sunday. I look forward to being with those at 2:30 at Sunday school. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he convicts us of sin. And without him convicting us of sin, without the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin, we all would be lost. Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for turning me from darkness, giving me light that I can believe, giving me the forgiveness of sins. And so we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.